Here we are back again in the barbershop, playersvoice.com. I'm your host, Mark Gray, and we all know the world's most useless producer in the business. A1, how you doing today, buddy?
What's up, guys?
That is just terrible. That is just definitely terrible. Again, thanks again for joining us. Like I said, playersvoice.com, the barbershop. If this is your first visit, I hope you enjoy it. To the guys and girls who are weekly listeners, welcome back and look forward to another great show. Just to get the business out the way, playersvoice.com is the website. Players Voice is the Facebook page. And if you want to follow on Twitter, it's Grey A Mark, GREYAMARK. I say all kinds of, actually I don't say anything, but I'm working on that and I will. A1, you have a Twitter? No?
No.
You don't have a Twitter?
No.
You don't, I don't think, even if you did, I probably wouldn't follow you. I don't think you would have anything to say that I would want to hear. Super Bowl week, man. There's a lot that happened in sports this week, just as a whole.
We're also on iTunes.
iTunes. How does that, give them the iTunes information, because I don't have that. I don't even know how that works. What do they do?
Go to iTunes and type in the barbershop, and, you kind of, at this point, do a little searching, but, go to podcasts, go to all podcasts, and you'll see, our symbol is playersvoice.com, and you'll see it on there.
The logo, the man running with the microphone, playersvoice.com. So again, that's on iTunes in the search button. Hit search, go to podcast, all podcasts, scroll down, you'll see the logo right there that says playersvoice.com.
Yep.
You click on there, and then you get the thing.
Yeah.
Once you listen to it on iTunes, you can rate it or something like that?
Yes.
Rate it, tell us how.
Subscribe.
Subscribe, even better. Subscribe, rate it, tell us how bad we are. Basically how bad A1 is, but we understand. Super Bowl week. There's so much to even talk about. So there's a lot of basketball stories. I don't even want to, we can't get to them all. So we'll come back. Let's close up the NFL this week. Next week we'll get into basketball. Just quick. I mean, like Steph Curry went for 51 last night. You saw that.
Yep.
Westbrook goes for, I think
45.
KD's hurt again. Anthony Davis doing what I told you he's been doing. The Cleveland thing, I want to come back and touch that all as a whole. It's just interesting on so many different levels. Kevin Love, LeBron, the team, the streak, the losing streak, and the winning streak. Just that whole dynamic. We'll get our, my NBA other half, get DeMar Johnson in here, 10-year NBA vet. We'll get him in here next week and have him join the show as we talk all basketball. There is a lot of basketball stories I do want to talk about. Just don't have enough time to get into all of them. Real quick note, before we get into the football, did you see that Tarasi said she's going to sit
Tarasi,
out?
Yeah.
Is going to sit out this year in the WNBA?
I heard some Russian teams paying her not to play.
Okay, first of all, I don't know how familiar you are with the women's basketball, but that all of our top WNBA players play overseas, and that's where they make majority of their money. The WNBA is actually almost semi pro bono
for
a lot of these girls. So Tarasi's contract over there is for $1.1 million. Her team told her that they would pay her, on top of her $1.1 million, they would pay her WNBA salary of $100,000 a year to not play over there. And she said, fine, that's a no-brainer if I'm her. WNBA is in trouble. You can't do that. That'll fold.
Yeah.
And, the fact is, as these women, and they become a business just like the men, and they have, a Candace Parker has to be making, has to be worth, as a brand, a good amount of money. And it's not worth it to be playing for $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 if you're making $500,000 to $1 million over there. And I think the WNBA could mark this as the day that the WNBA started to fold. And it really is a shame because I can't think of a worsely marketed entity of any level than the WNBA. You know, I'm not saying that it would take over or anything like that, but at the time that it comes on in the summer, so it's not even competing with anything. It's not competing with NBA, it's not competing with NFL, it's competing with the dog days of baseball, and that's it. And there's no marketing of it. When you go to an NBA game, there's no mention of the WNBA team. And what's crazy is that if you pull up the WNBA, like, all-star roster and it comes out, I can tell you where every girl on that roster went to college, and I couldn't tell you what WNBA team they're on. If I said you, Candace Parker, you say she went to college where?
Tennessee.
Okay. If I said Sue Bird, you say she went to school at?
I don't know.
UConn. If you say Taurasi, UConn. And so on, the Notre Dame girl, Skylar Diggins.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you what team any of them are on in the WNBA. You know what I mean? So there are household names in the WNBA. There's not house. I couldn't even tell you the names of all the actual teams. I know the Mystics because they're here. I know the Sparks. That's about where it would stop. The Liberty, I believe, that's the New York team. I don't know if they're still all the Liberty. But that organization, which I don't know if it just never interests David Stern, so he just didn't. Because David Stern is a marketing genius, and he's done wonders with the NBA. So to think that he couldn't get the W, I can't even say the WNBA is any further along today than it was when it started. You know what I mean? And it's not for lack of star power. And the thing is, it's not a bad product. It's not as, you know, it's not, no, there's no Duncan and all of that. But I mean, you think about how big of a name was Brittany Griner 3 years ago. She was right. Huge.
Yeah.
One of the biggest names in sport. Mm-hmm. And you don't even know what team she's on in WNBA. You know, it's like, there's no other sport where you are at the height in college and then it's downhill after that. You know,
yeah.
Brittany Griner was a household name. Candace Parker was a household name. Ain't heard from them since.
Right.
And that's really crazy. But yeah, we'll get into the, NBA later. But trust me, I do think that that's gonna be, it seems like a small, not a small. She goes over there this year and plays much better. Like her. And, you know, Candace Parker's team decides that, hey, if we want the best out of Candace Parker, join our season. You done? You don't even have any friends. So I have no idea why your phone is ringing. But if Candace Parker's team then decides, hey, you know what? We'll pay her not to play. And the funny thing is, I believe they're on the same team, actually, in Russia. And then Griner's team decides that, and everybody starts deciding, hey, you know, we'll pay our player an extra $60,000 to sit down. WNBA will just disappear.
Yeah.
Super Bowl. Great game. Great, 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 great game. Just for the record, I think you called New England with me as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
You said New England. I thought New England, but you know what? I thought New England would dominate them. And if you eliminate the score, which is not how football works, but if you eliminate the score, they pretty much dominated. They went up the field. In the first half, Russell Wilson doesn't complete a pass until I think it was even more than me. It was like 4 minutes left in the second quarter. Tom Brady essentially just moving up and down the field at will, throws the interception at the goal line. And it's one of those things that when you saw how New England was dominating them in the first half and they're only up seven, you knew that that's a problem. You know what I mean? Because you're not going to continue to dominate them like that. There's a lot of times you're watching sport and you're like, man, they're really beating these boys. And then you look up, 14-0. No, you really should be up by more than that. And they weren't. And I kind of felt that was the same thing that happened in the Green Bay game, where Green Bay was dominating them but not really dominating the scoreboard. And again, I said this before, Russell Wilson was allowed to completely stink for a quarter and a half and was only down seven. That is a luxury that a lot of quarterbacks do not have. A lot of quarterbacks, they're required, like Peyton Manning stunk last year for a quarter and a half. And by the time he picked his head up, they were down, you know, 20 something points. The game was over essentially from that first snap. The game was over. But yeah, so they dominated, the game, just did not dominate the score. And so much, obviously by now, everybody, if you didn't have a horse in the race, which neither one of us did, and all you were rooting for was a good game, I don't think you could ask for a better Super Bowl in terms of just everything. It was amazing. Halftime show was hilarious. I'm watching this, and it looked like, I know you don't have kids, but like Blue's Clues. It looked like, why are there dolphins on the, what the hell was that?
I think they were sharks.
Sharks, whatever. It started off with that, the world's largest, I'm in a room with about 30 or 40 people, and people, lion, it's a dinosaur, it's a panther. Did they ever even say what that thing was that she came in on?
I don't think so.
Or why? That's just hilarious. Only in America. Cause you know that thing cost, God knows how much, $500,000. Something stupid, and what are they gonna do with it? It can't fit in anybody's house. The thing was the size of a building. And what did it add? No idea. Nothing. Now, the thing where she was flying around on, that was pretty cool. And she was pretty high off the ground, too.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people underestimate how... I bet you that's a lot scarier than you think it is.
Yeah, I bet it is, too. Yeah.
Because she was a good 60, 70 feet off the ground just floating around. Like, if that thing had lost power or fell, that would have been a nice fall down to the ground. You know what I mean? She was up there. But yeah, back to what I was saying. If you were just looking for a good game, didn't really care who won, just wanted to be entertained, that's the best you can ask for. Now, here's where I'm going to go completely different than everywhere else. And I haven't talked to you about this, but let me guess, you're from the school of, why didn't they give Marshawn Lynch the ball? Worst Pete Carroll cost him the game. Is that what you're thinking too? Just like everybody else?
And not worst
call in sports.
Not necessarily. My personal opinion, I don't have a problem with them passing on that down. I just think they shouldn't have telegraphed that it was going to be a pass. I mean, obviously everybody in the building's thinking it's going to go to Marshawn Lynch.
Right.
So, I mean, make them think it's going to go to Marshawn Lynch and do maybe a fullback to the flats or something, but they telegraphed that. That's my problem with the call.
Okay. You know me as a person, I'm always a free thinker, and I like to, I don't like to let perceptions and preconceived notions determine what I think. So, society has, first of all, have you ever seen a quarterback throw an interception on the goal line and receive none of the blame? Like, let's just switch names for a second. Let's just say that this Super Bowl comes down, this is the Cowboys Super Bowl, and Tony Romo throws an interception on the goal line. Do you think anybody says, what was the coach thinking? Or is the story read, Romo chokes again. That's what it says, right? Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
That's what it says.
100%.
100%. Oh, he choked. Or even, let's not even say if it was Tony Romo. Forget that name. If Peyton Manning did that. Oh, he just, you know, like we've said over and over, just the best regular season quarterback. Is that not what the headline would have been?
Yeah.
He's a regular season quarterback, and he just, I've never seen somebody throw an interception to cost the team the game and receive not one lick of criticism. Not one. Everybody is talking about the play call as if, at one, Pete Carroll threw an interception.
Right.
Pete Carroll didn't throw an interception. Russell Westbrook threw the interception.
Russell Wilson.
Sorry. I don't know why Westbrook always rolls off my tongue when I say Russell. But Russell Wilson threw the interception and has received zero blame. On the flip side, the play that guy made was amazing. Okay. The contact that was absorbed on that play, the receiver flew. Okay. Now, mind you, this is not a receiver. This is a cornerback. So that means that when they collided, that impact was enough to knock him 3 yards off. So that means it's some dead serious impact. And now here's a guy who's not a receiver. He's a cornerback and he makes that catch and holds on to it. Hell of a play. So I feel like Pete Carroll is getting all of this blame. Russell Wilson is receiving no blame. Now, what's Marshawn Lynch known for? Beast mode. Most powerful guy in running back. That's what the people tell you, right? So all across the country, everybody, Twitter's blowing up, Facebook, the videos, beast mode, beast mode, beast mode, beast. They've embedded into people's head as if Marshawn Lynch is this ultimate goal line back.
Right. Like as if you just tell the refs, we're giving it to Marshawn Lynch and they just put seven on the board.
Let's reverse back about 5, 6, maybe 7 years. I don't have the exact year in my mind. Sean Alexander was characterized as
pretty much the same thing.
Soft. You don't remember knock on him?
Yeah,
everybody said
he was
soft.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, he's soft. Yeah. That's why they're running him out of town. Won the MVP. Oh, the guy is just soft.
Yeah.
Sean Alexander had 28 touchdowns in 1 year. Marshawn Lynch this year had the most touchdowns he's ever had in his career. You know how many touchdowns he had this year?
How many?
13. That would not be Sean Alexander's best year. That wouldn't be Sean Alexander's second best year. That wouldn't be Sean Alexander's third best year. It wouldn't be his fourth best year. It wouldn't be his fifth best year. It wouldn't be his sixth. That would be his seventh. He had six seasons better than 13 touchdowns. Okay? Mm-hmm. Nobody called him. If Sean Alexander was back then, I'm like, oh, you know, he should probably pass the ball. He's soft. The fact is, that boy ran in 28 touchdowns in 1 year. Marshawn Lynch this year ran for 13 touchdowns. That's the most touchdowns he's ever had in his career. So this idea that he's some sort of touchdown goal line machine, not true. You know that he had 5 carries from the 1 yard line this season.
It was 1 for 4.
1 for 4. 1 for 5. He converted 1 40 times he didn't. That's 20%. That's not automatic, okay? It's not. Since he's been in the league, he has had, hold on, I had the number up here before. Since he's been in the league, he's had 36 carries from the 1 yard line. 36. He scored on 15 of them. Okay? Now that rank, that's 41% of the time. That ranks 30th. 30th in the NFL from the 1 yard line. So, that, it's just not true.
Yeah.
This idea that, oh man, I would hand him the ball. You can go online and you can pull up and they'll show you all of his 1 yard line carries from, all his carries from the 1 yard line this year. Loses 1 yard. Touchdown, loses 1 yard, loses 3 yards, no gain. But everybody has you thinking, there's not a person, when you ask them that, if I said, hey, Marshawn Lynch had 5 carries from the 1 yard line this year, people would probably say he scored on 6 of them.
Right.
That's the image that we have. 13 touchdowns. You play fantasy football. 13 touchdowns is not any touchdown machine.
Yeah.
You get 13 touchdowns this year. That's some sort of power back in the days of Larry Johnson back to back 20, Priest Holmes, LaDainian Tomlinson. I think the record was, cause he broke. Sean Alexander had a record of 28. LaDainian Tomlinson came in there, I think, got 29 or 30. Priest Holmes did back to back, high 20s. Like I said, Larry Johnson did high 20s. You know, there are guys who were money. Jones Drew was back to back 20s and money at that 1 yard line.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not here to say that Marshawn Lynch is not a powerful runner. He is a powerful runner, but it's amazing to me every single time. I had somebody, I posted on Facebook. I said, LeGarrette Blount has been in beast mode.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy said to me, what are you talking about? He's no Marshawn Lynch. I said, have you seen it? Oh, no. So what do we do? Right there in front of him, just type in LeGarrette Blount on YouTube. And if you don't believe me, just type in LeGarrette Blount on YouTube and watch his highlight tape, and you'll be like, this dude's been running guys over.
Mm-hmm.
But because he didn't get the title beast mode, and it's not stamped and shoved down your face, and it's like we're so programmed to believe whatever the society tells us. Society, somebody tells you so many times that he's beast mode and he's a lock from the 1 yard line. Everybody thinks he's a lock from the 1 yard line. I'm not just talking about casual fans. Everybody, they're
right.
Brainwashed to think that he's a lock from the 1 yard line. Just like you would be brainwashed to think that they make us think that Michael Jordan hit every game winner he ever took.
Right.
As if like, you know, if Mike took the shot, it went in. Or, you know, if he was, and the fact is Michael Jordan played 17 years in the league and won the title 6 times. More times than that, he didn't. You know what I mean? Like that. That's just the fact. And so many times that happens. People will tell me, we've been told, after we weren't around, but we were told how Bill Russell was the best defensive player. And, you know, he just used to lock Wilt Chamberlain down. If you ever saw Wilt Chamberlain's numbers against Bill Russell, unreal. They're video game numbers. But because Bill Russell was on a better team and won these titles, and the story lives on that he's his defensive stopper, Wilt used to give this guy 50 on the regular. Like it was nothing. But that's just not what we're taught. That's not what we're told. So again, in this Super Bowl, I think that Pete Carroll is receiving a lot of, unnecessary blame. I think Russell Wilson has gotten zero. And I think Marshawn Lynch has watched his legend as a goal line back reach unprecedented levels that there's no guy. Can you name another guy with 13? Whose career high is 13 rushing touchdowns, who gets more credit as a goal line back?
I cannot.
When did 13 touchdowns become automatic? They played 16 games. He had 13 touchdowns. Doesn't sound like, you know, boom, this guy's is money. Gronkowski, I think J.J. Watt, I think he lined up like 3 times and had 3 touchdowns. That's 100%. You know what I mean? That's if somebody said, man, every time J.J. Watt goes out for a pass, he catches a touchdown, I would look up the numbers and I'd say 3 receptions for 3 touchdowns. That is an accurate statement. You know what I'm saying? One for scoring 1 out of 5 times at the 1 yard line and saying that somebody's money from there is just not true. That's in baseball numbers, that's not even a good batting average.
Yeah.
That's batting 200. If I told you, you know, oh, I don't know why you didn't send the guy out there, he bats 200, you'd be like, chances are he's not going to get a hit.
Right.
That's just that. Now, I did, so, I'm the only person who's, it's weird. I'm baffled that these numbers aren't out there. Why nobody is saying that? All everybody wants to do is second guess. Why can't it be that one Russell Wilson made, I'm not going to say it was, it was picked off, so I guess that makes it a bad pass. And second, more importantly, I feel like that dude made an amazing play. He made an amazing, amazing play. Now what I did learn from that game, more than anything, as I'm watching this game, the one thing that stuck out to me throughout the whole game was, who is that guy? That's the whole Super Bowl. Who was that guy? I've said before several times that I feel like I never remember there being in the NFL more freak of nature receivers than there are right now. Remember we named them last week. There's 10 guys you can name that are unreal, out of this planet. From Megatron to Odell Beckham, AJ Green.
Dez Bryant.
Just dudes who are unreal. Huge, strong, fast. Brandon Marshall. The Bears have two of them. You know what I mean? On the same team. None of those guys are in the Super Bowl. And none of them, a handful of them, aren't even in the playoffs, or even close to the playoffs. Okay? Bears have, like I said, two of probably the top 10 receivers in the NFL. Didn't even sniff the playoffs. Now, who is in the Super Bowl? We're watching the Seahawks guy is dominating. This is first NFL catch? It's a practice squad? Edelman? You look at the Patriots are out there with Edelman, what's the other guy's name? Amendola, Brandon LaFell, just a bunch of guys, just there. They're just there. The guy who makes the game-winning interception, a guy who started his college at a junior college, then played Division II football, was undrafted, and he makes the biggest play of the year. Interception of the game that Tom Brady throws at the 1 yard line. The guy Lane, his first career interception. Like I said, the Seahawks receiver, the 6'5 guy, he's killing him. He had four catches for 100 and something yards. He's on the practice squad. What that tells me is, if you can't sit there and you watch that, and especially you're right here at where we are in Washington DC, it is so much about a system than it is about players. And then you watch that game and you realize how far away a team like, say, the Redskins, how far a team like the Raiders, how far you guys are away. It has nothing to do with players. Okay, what makes the Patriots and what makes the Seahawks isn't Danny Amendola.
Outside of Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. You have Tom Brady, obviously. Yes, Tom Brady. No doubt about it. But it's Tom Brady as a quarterback with the consistency of, one, it's him every single year. He's the leader of the team. Him and the coach, he's worked with the same coach and the same regime, and it's a system, and it's structure, which is the exact opposite of Browns, Raiders, Redskins. The same teams that stink year in and year out, whether they get the first pick, some of these teams, whether it be the Redskins and the Raiders and the Browns, and I'm sure there's other teams in there I'm forgetting, they can get the first pick of the draft every single year from here to kingdom come. Okay? And the Patriots will find a guy who's undrafted and get more out of him than these ball clubs, are getting out of their number one draft picks. That is so telling, and there's so much to be learned from that it doesn't really matter. For the entire Patriots career, other than Randy Moss, he's never had a real receiver. But what he has is a system. And they say Wes Walker wasn't valuable to anybody other than the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And he could be a Patriots MVP in their system. You couldn't take him out. You couldn't swap out Wes Walker in his prime and throw him out there in Detroit and say, do what Calvin Johnson does. Not a shot in hell. But they have a system, and what Belichick says is, this is our system, and we're going to get guys that do our system. We don't have any deep threat. So what we're going to do is we're going to have Wes Welker. And then when Wes Welker's done, find another guy just like Wes Welker. And if you watch the precision of those cuts that Edelman have, unreal, dude. I'm talking about 5 and a hard stop cut. Why? And that when they cut, that ball is there. And it's to watch it is actually like poetry. You know, it is beautiful. It is an art and it is a system. And you just realize that Belichick sends out in here in Washington, you listen to the talk radio and they say, oh man, our secondary is banged up. You know, this guy isn't here. And it's always names, D'Angelo Hall or this other guy. You know, our star players aren't here. And then the people buy into it and say, oh, you know, our starters are out. And then you turn on the Super Bowl and these guys have undrafted practice squad players making game changing plays. Belichick's not saying, oh, well, you know, Aaron Hernandez is in jail, so this is our backup tight end. You know what he says? The backup tight end is just as good as Aaron Hernandez.
Outside of Tom Brady, are any of the Patriots offensive players pro bowlers?
Gronkowski.
Okay.
Gronk is exceptional. Brady's exceptional. I'm not familiar per se with the offensive linemen by name. I'd imagine one or two of them are a pro bowler. Like I said, I don't have the information in front of me. I know he doesn't have a bad offensive line. But if the Patriots released all their players today, all their skill position players today, nobody's bringing them in to be their number one. That's for sure. Nobody took away from this.
Outside of Gronk,
yeah. Nobody's taken away from this, man. We got to get our hands on Amendola, Edelman, or Brandon LaFell. That's not what anybody's saying. You know what I mean? Or Shane Vereen, or any of those guys, or Jonas Gray, or any of them. They just aren't. And it's such a system that you realize and you see, like I said, a guy like Belichick's been there. And as long as he's been there, it's just that consistency and the system is there and the players change and they just lose him. Rodney Harrison, you replace him with another one. You know, and there's no other team. There's only a handful of teams that do that where legitimately everybody talks about next man up. They actually do it. You know, how many teams could have lost? Aaron Hernandez was he was a talented player. He wasn't just part of the system. They lost him and they went to the Bucs and grabbed Tim Wright, their second or third string tight end. Come on over, buddy. Tim Wright had games this year with zero catches and he had games with three touchdowns. It's that ability to do your job. And I've talked to players who played for the Patriots and they said the philosophy in the building is really simple, is that everybody has a job to do and you just do your job. And I felt like I've always compared it to the Spurs. Everybody has a job. You just do your job. Bruce Bowen was by no stretch of the imagination a Hall of Fame player. His job was to knock down that wide open three pointer in the corner and play good defense. That was his job and he did it. Matt Bonner. Nobody wants Matt Bonner. His job is to be a 7-footer, shoot threes. That's his job. He goes in there. He might not play for a month. He goes in there and he plays for 3 minutes. And his job is to knock down that three and stretch the D. And that's what he does. And so I think so many of these other organizations, like I said, it's easy to point out the Redskins is where we are. It's just always about names and about, oh, we got to get this receiver. And you never really hear about the Patriots signing these people. It's just, hey, you know, that, you know, we let this guy wanted this amount of money. We're not going to pay him that and we'll find somebody else. And they do. And like I said, you keep a Tom Brady who obviously was amazing. That's another person who didn't, while everybody is talking about the Pete Carroll, the defensive player on the, Seahawks says, I don't know. First of all, he threw his own coach under the, he said, I don't know what that coaching staff was seeing. I don't know why we don't give Marshawn Lynch. If I'm the coaching staff, what we did see is that you guys are the number one defense and Tom Brady just went straight down the field on you guys back to back times. How about that? So, again, it becomes, while everybody's so focused on that one play call, all of these things are being ignored. What's being ignored? That the number one defense in the NFL let Tom Brady go 8-for-8 on that drive, 10-for-12 in the fourth quarter. He threw for 4 touchdowns? Some other NFL record, Super Bowl record. All these things, that's all being ignored. Everybody's ignoring the fact that it's the first team to ever blow a 10-point fourth quarter lead in the Super Bowl. Nobody's mentioning that. All that's being lost because everybody wants to focus on a guy who's 1-for-5 from the 1 yard line. These are just the facts. These aren't my opinions. These are just the pure facts. The fact is that defense let Tom Brady go straight down the field. Okay. That defense let Tom Brady essentially dominate them pretty much all game. I believe he's the first person to ever throw to attempt 50 passes in the Super Bowl and win. Okay. They never really got the running game going. And Tom Brady picked them apart eight, nine yard passes all the way down the field. Nobody's mentioning that. The one pass play, he goes to Gronkowski. Soon as you see split out wide, the number 50, that's mismatched all day long. There's no reason for a linebacker to be lined up all the way out wide on Gronkowski on an island. All Tom Brady does is stand back there, counts to three, looks the safety off to the opposite direction, and just lob that ball off. And that pass is open all day long. Gronkowski on a linebacker, no safety help, nothing. That's a mismatch waiting to happen. There's so many things that happen that are just for this game to be reduced to Marshawn Lynch not getting the ball, that's just not an accurate depiction of what happened in the game. The game was 60 minutes long with a lot going on, and that's not all that happened was that one play. Hats off to the Seahawks, because I've always said that Tom Brady's receiving core crop is the worst. The only receiving core that I think is worse than New England is Seahawks. You would be hard pressed to find a less star-studded receiving cast than what we just saw in that Super Bowl. And we had practice squad guys, several undrafted players out there on the field making plays. And that just shows me it really is about the system. So the Patriots and Seahawks, to an extent, are just one of these teams that are less affected by injuries because it's not really that big of a deal. You know, so when people kept asking me about, you couldn't think of a worse matchup, for the Seahawks than the Patriots. And follow me, this is why. The Legion of Doom is known for Richard Sherman and the other defenders, Chancellor and, what's the other safety's name? Thomas. For,
Earl Thomas.
Yeah. For a list. That works if you're playing, if they are playing the Lions. You say, I'm gonna take Edelman out the game. You think the Patriots care if you take Edelman out the game? Not at all. They're fine. Have at it. Amendola's gonna have 13 catches for, you know what I mean? And if he's not, then we'll go to LaFell. And, you know, so there are, when you have a team with no, Sherman, nobody passes. We have that, whoever you'd like to put him on, that's fine. You know how many game plans the Patriots have? Amendola or Edelman's either one, not even involved in the plan. So if you, that's how balanced the team is, and to the point where, you know, other than Gronk, and they can even live without Gronk. Gronk misses, Gronkowski gets injured, they are accustomed to playing without Gronkowski. The Ravens game, couldn't run the ball, so they didn't literally no in the fourth quarter. That is a system. And that's what these other teams don't get. And they keep just drafting name players. They keep stockpiling talent. They keep spending big money and free agency. And you're asking yourself, in a league where cornerbacks, it's odd that the Patriots Division II football. That goes to a system. And I think the Dan Snyders of the world and whoever's running the team, the Davis family and that Bengals family, the Browns, the teams, right? Now, Johnny Manziel, of course, as you guys know, checked into rehab for alcohol. Very serious. Hats off. No judging. not against, I mean, I can't say I'm not, it's sad. Alcohol is a real thing. Being an alcoholic is a real thing. Sad thing. Not even here to debate what that guy's problem is. That being said, no other position in sports that is more dependent on being in the quarterback position. I can have an alcoholic running back. I can have an alcoholic starting pitcher. I can have an alcoholic receiver. I can have an alcoholic point guard. I can have an alcoholic center. I can have an alcoholic goalie. There is no other position in sports that is more leadership driven and attention to detail driven than the quarterback position. Quarterbacks need, when everybody else goes home in offseason, quarterbacks don't. Quarterbacks stay. They're there on Tuesday when the rest of the team is off. When the meetings are off, when everybody else goes back to the room, they're staying back. You are required to know every single play, not just your plays. The receiver, he has to know where his route is. The quarterback has to know all receivers' routes, the tight end's routes, the blocker's assignments, the running back. He needs to know the amount of focus and leadership and maturity that is required from the quarterback position. I think you're kidding yourself to look at Johnny Manziel and say, he has that. You're kidding yourself. And even if he did, I'm betting that in the fourth or fifth round. I'm not betting my first round pick on that. And here we are, fast forward, not even a year. There's no you saying why it is. No when he gets into trouble off the field. Baffled. And this is weird. Did you know that James just isn't really that mature, and the guys in the locker room aren't, he's not a leader, he's the older guys are, he acts like a kid. It doesn't work that way. Russell Wilson commands respect because of his maturity level. But you don't get a guy like Jameis Winston to come in and play with 30. You got to think in NFL, you got offensive linemen who've been in the league 14, 15 years. You got receivers double-digit years. If you're acting like a punk, I was there for the Jamarcus Russell debacle. And I remember, I don't want to get into too much detail, but being outside of a club and seeing him walk in and knowing, just looking at his presentation, the way he was acting, like, wow, you're the leader of a team. You look like an idiot. You look like an idiot, you're acting like an idiot, and the people around you are idiots. It is nothing, and you can't do that at that level. You just can't. I'm not here to judge what anybody does in their personal life, but the quarterback position, the quarterback is the head of a billion-dollar business, and he needs to look like it. And when I say look like it, I mean, like, he needs to look like he's been studying all day. That's what you need to look like. And when you hear about the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Brady's, and insert successful quarterback name here, they're always known as the hardest worker on the team. And at quarterback, that's the only position, I think it's the biggest position in sports that is not really that much based on talent as it is upstairs. You know what I mean? Michael Vick isn't a Hall of Fame quarterback because of his athletic ability. That's not what's holding him back. Peyton Manning could only dream of having Mike Vick's arms, legs, or anything else for that matter. But what he does have is a brain and the ability to read defenses. Robert Griffin's problem isn't, it's not his arm, it's not his leg, it's not his problem. So these are injuries, this is not, the problem is he can't read defenses. And he can't make the right decision, he can't make the right read. That's his problem. And then what feeds into that problem is that, it's been a problem that's been here forever, and that's the problem that happened with Jason Campbell, is that there's a different coach every year. There's a different offensive coordinator. There's a different scheme than what they just did to this guy last year. He's the quarterback, and he's not the quarterback. Then he's benched for the third-string quarterback. You're never going to win. If I'm a Redskins fan, I hope that you watch this game and you realize how far away you are from winning. Like, how far you are away from winning. And it's because it's an organizational thing. We had the two best organizations on the field. That's what that was. It was the two best organizations on the field. And for the past couple of years, you just look at the teams that have been there. 49ers, great organization under Harbaugh. Essentially, they've been one of the greatest organizations in the history of football. But a great organization, solid all the way through every position. Players get hurt, guys steps up. Harbaugh, hell of a coach. Ravens, consistency. Joe Flacco stunk for the majority of his career. He didn't have to, never was he looking over his shoulder worrying if he was going to get benched. They never benched Flacco and went to the practice squad quarterback. Okay? He's worked with Torrey Smith his whole career. I'm not sure which, essentially he's had Torrey Smith for at least 5-6 years. Okay? Before this Ray Rice thing, he had Ray Rice. He's got the same offensive lineman. Ozzie Newsom's been there the entire time. Same GM, same coach. It's a system.
Consistency.
Before that, it was always the Colts. Same offensive line with Peyton Manning, Jeff Saturday, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne,
Dallas Clark.
The same, Dwight Freeney, Tony Dungy. Just the same thing. He goes up, he goes to Denver. And it's always the same teams, the Steelers. Mike Tomlin is there. Whether they win the Super Bowl, or they win two games. He's not looking over his shoulder. Nobody's talking about benching Ben Roethlisberger because for the hell of it. Tom Coughlin in New York. The Giants are consistently, you know, relevant. They have bad years. Then they don't say, oh, we're firing Coughlin. There's the rumors every year. They don't fire Coughlin. Eli sucks all the time. They don't just bench him. So Eli sucks. That's what he does. He sucks. He's our quarterback. And when he gets it right, he gets it right. Tweak a little bit here. They don't just completely change everything. And teams need to get that. Like I said, this Super Bowl, I think what needs to be taken away from this Super Bowl and what I'm taking away from this Super Bowl is not that Marshawn Lynch got didn't get the ball. It's not that Pete Carroll made a bad mistake. That's what I'm taking away from the Super Bowl and what I would hope everybody else take. We saw the two best organizations on the field. Period. Two best organizations. And I think what stamps that is that if the Seahawks had won the Super Bowl, the MVP would have been that receiver who was on the practice squad. He made the biggest plays, made the biggest catches. He was their big play guy. The game ended with an undrafted rookie making an interception. The best organization. Those were the two best organizations.
Chris Matthews, that's his name, the receiver.
From Seattle. I wasn't going to sit here and tell you that his name was on the tip of my tongue. That's probably the third time I've heard his name. Like, really. As far as I'm concerned, you know, worse than Jermaine Kearse. I was like, who is he? And Baldwin, these guys aren't star receivers. They're just not. And, you know, that Super Bowl offensively, you're talking about Lynch, Gronkowski, Brady, Wilson, and maybe there's somebody I'm forgetting.
That's it.
But, you know, that's about it. Now, what I will tell you was the biggest difference that I'm actually surprised that I haven't heard anything about this is that for the second time in 2 years, the Seahawks made a Super Bowl without Percy Harvin. Percy Harvin played in last year's Super Bowl. They didn't need him to get to the Super Bowl, but when he got to the Super Bowl, Percy Harvin made about 3 plays. Had the kick return for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference of the Super Bowl, bro. You know, that Percy Harvin, now apparently he was the world's biggest headache in the locker room, but, sure would have been nice to have Percy Harvin kick return in that Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
One return for a touchdown or just for good, field position, that would have been nice. Percy Harvin, big play in that game would have been nice for the Seahawks. But again, no star power. There wasn't. And I think star power is overrated. Like I said, if you look at the Bears and you have Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett, Matt Forte, they're not hurting for star power.
No excuse.
And they won, I don't know, they won 5-6 games, if that, or whatever the case may be. Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola, they don't even make the Bears. Like, I mean, they'd be inactive. If you put them on the Bears, they'd be inactive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Lions have Megatron and Golden Tate, Reggie Bush. Who's the other running back out there with, that Reggie Bush is splitting carries with? Joik Bell. Nothing. You know, all these talented receivers out there and nothing. Like if you don't have the system, and that starts from the top. It starts from the top. Everybody preaches next man up. But I don't think that that's the case. I don't think that. I'm willing to bet you look at these, how many times you look at these Patriots guys and you pull up their bio and it says released by this team, released by that team. I think there's something to that lack of star power. I think that when you go to practice and you have 53 guys who are scared for their job and that they know they better make a play or they're not going to be there, I think you get more out of your players. And I'm willing to bet that if you were to sit down, he would never tell you, but I bet you that's Belichick's philosophy. Like, you know, hey, Randy Moss was great, man. I love it. But, I mean, we'll never have a talent like that. But I tell you what, I mean, he doesn't always necessarily do what I want him to do because he's Randy Moss. He doesn't have to. But I tell you, he does do what I tell him to do. This guy off the practice squad. You know what I mean? He certainly does what I tell him to do. And the key thing, I'm sure you saw the interview when they asked, Brown. Brown is his last name. What's his first name? The guy who intercepted the pass begins with an M. Is it Marlowe or is it Marlin? I don't want to mess up his name. I think it's Marlowe Brown or Marlin Brown. Definitely last name is Brown and his first name begins with an M. You can pull that out for me. But he said, they ran that play on me in practice.
For the Patriots?
Yeah. The guy who made an interception.
Malcolm Butler.
What did I say? Brown. Malcolm Butler. Right. He said, in the interview, he said they ran the play in practice and they scored. And I got burnt. And coach told me, I need to make that play. And you know what they always say, what everybody is always saying, this is luck. And you know what the definition of luck is when opportunity meets preparation. That's the definition right there. You say it's lucky. No, he's prepared. So he saw that play in practice, and Belichick told him, when that happens, you need to be ready. And it happened. And he was ready. It's just that simple. You know what I mean? It really, really is. And I think that's how Belichick looks at it. And I think that's how Pete Carroll looks at it. It doesn't matter whether you're Deion Sanders or Malcolm Butler. Listen, man, if that slant comes, you need to be ready. Period. I don't really care who the name is. That's irrelevant. And that's what they practice. And the same thing, there's not many coaches that would throw a guy on a practice squad out there on the Super Bowl. And not only that, call his number. They were throwing the ball down the field to this guy. Not many coaches would do that. Most coaches would say, oh, no, you know, we have to go with this big-name receiver or that big-name receiver. And then, you know, or DeSean Jackson would have been on the field, on the sideline having a heart attack that some guy on the practice squad was getting more passes than him. You know what I mean? And that's why you don't have any DeSean Jacksons on the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't. That's just not their culture. And I think teams need to realize how much winning is a culture. It is a culture. That's pretty much that. That's all I want to say about the Super Bowl. Other than again, great game. Great game. Great Super Bowl. I can't really say I remember a better just game Super Bowl wise. In terms of back and forth. I remember that being that the Rams dominated at first, and then the game just kind of died. That's my memory. I don't have the box score of it. Yeah, he did. He did, but they were, I felt like you never really thought that the Titans were going to win. They were never up. I don't think there was any lead changes. You know what I mean? If I remember, it was more like the Rams jumped out and it was borderline like garbage time comeback points that just came up short. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that the game actually ended up being closer than it should have been. But at no point in time, you're like, man, you know, the Titans got this. Whereas though in this game, several times it was like, okay, Patriots are about to run away with this. And then next thing you know, it was 7-7. And okay, the Patriots scored again. Okay, here we go, 14. And it was about to be more. And then, okay, wow, we're at halftime, 14-14. Then next thing you know, they come out, and then they're up, and it's 24. We're like, whoa, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then that crazy catch happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, then Patriots go down the field, they score, and say, oh, well, that's that, you know. They're coming on the field with 3 minutes, and they actually weren't really doing anything. And then this, again, everybody in the world is thinking, wow, Brady loses another Super Bowl off of some fluke catch. That'll be crazy. And, you know, when they get down there and you think, okay, well, that's that. The Seahawks have won this game. And they don't. I mean, that's a game when you start thinking about it. Just real quick, I want to tell you how funny how things are, and it goes back to what I always say about perception versus reality. The fact is that, so let's say that by everybody's stretch of the imagination, Marshawn Lynch runs this ball in and he scores and the Seahawks win. Why does that make Tom Brady any better of a quarterback because Marshawn Lynch scores or doesn't score. You see what I'm saying?
Tom Brady or Russell Wilson?
No, Tom Brady. Because if they had lost, if he runs that in and they lose, then Tom Brady's not the greatest. Oh, it's a whole different story. That's the third Super Bowl he's lost. Da, da, da. And which goes back to what I'm saying about the Tony Romo thing all the time is that why does what somebody else, Tom, the fact is that the last, all three, well, this would have been his third loss. All three times Tom Brady went to the Super Bowl, which would have been his third loss, let's say, hypothetically, it would have been, he scored the last time he had the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Why does that dictate how good of a quarterback you are, whether Marshawn Lynch, so they don't score, and Tom Brady now, when people say, I think you have to call him the best quarterback of all time, they've won four Super Bowls. So, he's the best quarterback in the Super Bowl of all time because they didn't score from the 1 yard line. But, if they had scored from the 1 yard line, he would not have been the best. Does that make any sense to you?
Not at all.
That his legacy determines whether they score.
Right.
That does, I mean, now, last year with the Peyton Manning thing, that's different. When it's like, no, you stunk up the place. You guys lost by 100 points. That's different. But losing games by, I don't think Tom Brady's any level quarterback because David Tyree caught a ball on his helmet.
Right.
That's ridiculous to me. You know what I mean? Like, that's not his, there's nothing that Tom Brady could do about David Tyree catching the ball with his helmet. He hasn't even caught another pass since. I don't even think he's played another game since then. You know what I mean? So this idea that the quarterback's legacy is just tied to something. You know what I mean? Tony Romo didn't win because Dez Bryant made one move too many on that catch. You know what I mean? They make that catch. If Dez Bryant stays down and takes the knee and then it's going, that makes Tony Romo a better quarterback. That doesn't make you any better of a quarterback. That just makes the circumstances played out that way.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like I said, Tom Brady didn't. The fact that they won that Super Bowl, his stat line and what he accomplished would have been no different than if they had lost. And, you know, if Marshawn Lynch runs that ball in, Tom Brady still has 10 for 12. He still did 8 for 8 on that last drive. He still carried his team down there. He still scored 4, and he would have been a loser. And the legacy would have been all different. That's why it's like, make sure you're comparing apples to apples and oranges to oranges. All right, guys. We'll come back next week. The football season was an interesting season, man. Too many headlines outside of the field for me. It started off with the Ray Rice season did. Then that played into, snowballed into, Adrian Peterson. And then that snowballed into Greg Hardy down there in Carolina. And it just became.
Then it all snowballed into Goodell.
Then you finish up with the stupid footballs and, you know what I mean? And the deflated footballs. And it just was a bad headline year. And a lot of stuff got handled inappropriately to me. I feel like the Ray Rice thing, it started there and then just was downhill. The Adrian Peterson thing is crazy to me that apparently Adrian Peterson's son will probably play an NFL game before he does again. That's crazy to me. And I don't want to take a stance on the Greg Hardy thing one way or the other, but I'm not here to say whether he should play or shouldn't play, but what shouldn't happen is he plays 1 week, doesn't play the next week, plays 1 week. Like, that shouldn't be. He's either playing or he's not playing. And, you know, if you decided at the beginning of the season, we're going to wait until, he goes to trial and we're going to play him. I don't see how you're the Panthers. You say, yeah, go ahead, take the field. And, you know, we'll deal with that after the season when you go to trial. And then because something happens in Baltimore, you decide, oh, just kidding. You're not going to play this week. All right. Well, am I playing next week? I don't know. We'll see how the public reacts. What the hell is that? And then in the meantime, he just gets paid. So it's not like nobody's learning any lesson. I mean, still got all $15 or $16 million he's making this year. He just didn't play. That's crazy. The Josh Gordon situation, sad. Manziel situation, sad. The Deflategate football foolishness, too much. Just too much. It was just so much stuff that happened off the field that took away from a lot of spectacular things happened on the field this year. You know, but interesting year. And then, like I was telling you before we went on the air, four NFL players have been arrested in less than a week. See, we're 1 week into the offseason, and four NFL players have been arrested already. it's a problem, dude. It is. Goodell's, I don't envy him. You know, it's easy to sit back and say what he's not doing or what a case. I mean, fact is he's dealing with, he's got, you know, a lot of young kids on his, who have free time and money. That's dangerous, man. Free time, money, and targets on their back. Everything they're going to do is going to be in the news. So he's got a problem.
Well, he's making $40 million, so.
That he is. But I think what happens is that you're scared to throw a blanket out there and say, next player who gets arrested isn't playing because you don't know who you're going to catch in that blanket.
Well, I just caught
Adrian Peterson in the last blanket, and yeah. I don't think that, you know, I don't think you want to keep doing that. You know,
I feel like that's too much responsibility for one man to be the arbiter of basically what's right and wrong and what punishment is going to happen for, you know, everything.
And that's why I've always said I don't think that position is, I don't think that that's what that, it's not the principal's office. It's the commissioner. It's his job is to run the league. I do not think it is his job to be the high and mighty sitting on a throne deciding whether attempted rape is worse than punching your girlfriend, is worse than beating your kid, is worse than a DUI, is alcohol worse than weed. I don't think that's his job to be deciding alcohol is 2 games, weed is 4 games, beating your kid is a season.
Steroids is this.
Beating your girlfriend is 2 games. Like, I don't think that that's his responsibility. I don't think it's right. And I think it needs to be a blanket statement because we all like to say what the ignorant fan, that's what I like to call it, ignorant fan callers, if that was me at my job, I'd be fired. And the fact is, that's not true. You wouldn't be fired because you know what? Nobody would know. This Friday and every Friday, all across the country, over 1,000 people will get DUIs this weekend. And they will all go back to work on Monday. Okay?
Yep.
Just like that. There's, you know, when those numbers came out about spousal abuse, and every 3 minutes a woman is abused, and guess what? Every 4th minute that guy goes back to work,
mm-hmm.
and nobody knows anything about it. So that's not true. The whole, you know, it's a right to be in the football, and you, this idea that these football players are, you know, the focal point of your community, that's garbage. And it needs to be just like any other job. If let the law handle that. That's why we have. You know, if Greg Hardy beat this girl and did whatever the case may be, and the police lock him up, then guess what? He can't play football.
Mm-hmm.
But if the police say that he's out, unable to go to work, I'm going to work. If I go and get a DUI today, as long as I can show up for my shift tomorrow, it's my shift.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get locked up, that's when I'll lose my job. You know what I mean? Like, that's how it needs to be. It shouldn't be that one guy decides that beating your kids is da da da. If I beat my kids and my job finds out about it, so are you going to be here tomorrow or you have court?
Whatever. Right. You know, if the owner of the team wants to make that decision because you're representing my team.
Right. That's fine.
That's different.
Now, if you would like to have the team that is literally called the Saints, not the New Orleans Saints, the Saints, everybody on your team is the Saints.
Right.
Good luck. I hope you enjoy 0-16. You know what I mean? That's a fairy tale world. Everybody on my team is good. Right. And not only that, it's like, once you do that, you're opening yourself up for, because nobody's perfect and something is going to happen. As soon as you put somebody on a pedestal, well, I wish everybody was like this guy. Remember when everybody wished that their kid was Tiger Woods and Tiger Woods was so perfect and Allen Iverson could learn something from Tiger Woods and he was just the epitome of this. And
well, remember and everybody.
Like, oh, wow. Okay. Didn't know that.
Marvin Harrison.
Oh, man, this guy, you know, you never know.
Stand up guy.
He's a murderer. Full fledged.
Omar from The Wire.
Yeah, my man is about that life. Every bit of it. He needs his money. My man works the club. He's at the door. Like, my man, nah, I'm not sending nobody to do my dirty work. That's me. You know what I mean? Exactly. So this concept that you know people, you don't know what these people are doing. So, we don't know. And this year, somebody is going to get arrested that you thought would have never seen that coming. Wow, I did not know that. So, you know, you can't do that. That, in my opinion, the commissioner's job is not to be the principal's office, and especially not on a case-by-case instance. You know, if you want to set up rules, then you have rules. And it just says, hey, one DUI gets this, two DUIs gets that. A felony gets this, a felony gets... But it can't be, oh, you punched your wife, let's talk about this. Oh, you punched your kid, let's talk about that. You had adultery, let's talk about... Oh, you're not up to date on your taxes, let's talk about that. You know, and that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. And then the thing is, because all that's going to happen is, who's Goodell? What's up with him? Who's monitoring? So when they
digging in his closet,
right? So you know, it becomes hypocritical when Jim Irsay gets locked up for, I don't even know what the hell his thing was. He was riding around with $50,000 in cash and a briefcase full of pills. Yeah, like, and he's got a DUI, and he's driving under the influence and doesn't even know what's going on. You know, you got that, then you got coaches, you got all these different things, and he didn't get anything. He was at the draft like a week later. Yeah, you know, so it's just too much. So next week we'll get back into basketball. Looking forward to that. It was a great, there's always, NFL is always a great season. We'll probably touch on a couple of NFL topics. Again. Oh, you know what else I did notice? The NFL talks all this, concussion protocol. If Julian Edelman wasn't concussed, I don't know what concussed was.
Yeah.
All right, first of all, the whole thing is, you know, you have to go through a test. My man got his bell rung, didn't come out the game. Tom Brady apparently is no fan of his, threw the ball right back at him again, got his bell rung again on the next play. Then on the third play, he overthrows the guy so that his head slams and hits the ground for the third time in three plays, and it's just like, this dude got to die? Before? What do they do? Concussion tests happen at commercial breaks or something? Like, what the hell is that? How do you preach all of this, you know, concussion protocol? And this guy is out here getting his bell rung three plays in a row. And it's just like, because he's still out there, you can't examine him. And then they said after the game, he kept calling, what was it? What did they say it was? They kept calling the Seahawks like the Panthers or something like that. He said he kept calling them the wrong team.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I'm sure he did. Sure, that dude is beyond concussed. Unreal. I just remember watching them with my friends. We were watching like, that, I mean, that was the definition of a helmet to the middle.
Yeah.
Got his helmet hit hard. Right. Boom. Got up, ran up. Next play, boom. Third play, overthrows him, hits his head on the ground. He's looking all woozy. Remember he got up and...
Yeah.
Wobbling. Like, come on, man. If you got a concussion protocol, that needs to be it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, guys. So make sure you all check back again. Thanks again for everybody for listening. That's, playersvoice.com. If you're listening on iTunes, make sure you, what is it, download the podcast and
subscribe
and
it's The Barbershop.
The Barbershop on iTunes from playersvoice.com. Do it on the search button right there. And please download it. We need those need that to get ranked, I think, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And like I said, just download it, appreciate it. Follow us Facebook, playersvoice.com. Anything else? Check back for next week's show. And again, man, if you like the show, tell somebody. And we look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks a lot, guys.